morning, everyone. Let us pray. Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. Our responsive reading today comes from Romans chapter...
Responsive reading's in the middle.
What? What am I doing? I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll
scripture.
Meet you later.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You mean, I can do Isaiah.
No, you're good. Okay, Isaiah. Okay, we're reading Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Now we're reading responsively. Let us pray this passage responsively, listening for a word or phrase that especially speaks to us. In the moment of silence after the reading, we may hold the words we heard in our hearts and allow them to inspire our own prayer to God. Let us pray with God's words. And our responsive reading today comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. Let us read responsively. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way the scripture puts it. Even if it was written in scripture long ago, you can be sure it was written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other, as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it, now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, then I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. And this one, outsiders and insiders rejoice together. And again, people of all nations celebrate God. All colors and races give hearty praise. And Isaiah's word, there's the root of our ancestor Jesse, breaking through the earth and growing tree tall, tall enough for everyone everywhere to see and take hope. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Matthew 3 sounds a little odd for an Advent reading, but I think there's a quality here. There's obviously the foreknowledge of Jesus' coming, and speaking of that, but there's also something else in here, and that is John the Baptist, how do we say this, was angry. There was a fire burning in him. He was not happy with how the world was unfolding around him. And he chose to express that directly. So as I read this, be thinking, how might we grapple with our anger at how the world is around us, and use it to make the kingdom of God as John the Baptist does. Not to repress it, not to shove it away, but to turn it for a holy use. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "A voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were being baptized by him at the river Jordan, confessing of their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can I have the children and the young at heart down front for young disciples, please? We're going to stand because I'm going to use somebody. Okay, come over here. Come like a little group right here. Who can I pick on?
She's raising her hand.
Oh, no, I need to pick on one of them. And Frank's laughing. So I think that means he thinks I won't pick on him. I think I'll pick on Frank. Can I borrow Frank? Okay, form a huddle over here. Just, they won't bite. No, stay here.
Okay.
No, you stay over there. You. Stay there. Okay, so we have some really neat passages today, and one of them comes from the letter to the Romans. And this is a church that was trying to deal with people who were different from each other. And he talks about insiders and outsiders. So I want to ask you, if I just kept talking to you guys and I ignored him, how do you think he'd feel? Yeah, what do you think?
Sad.
Sad. What do you think? Sad also? Or another word came to mind? Yeah? Annoyed? Would you be annoyed? I always wonder what annoyed is. Yes.
Jealous?
Rebellious? Mad?
I think you would get annoyed.
Why would I get annoyed?
Because you're stuck with us.
Fair point.
Hold on.
What?
Serpentine.
Serpentine?
I'm sorry. It's driving me crazy.
Okay.
There you go.
We all have to fix things in life. Yes, you are my Jay. Yes, that's right. So what should we do when... I don't even get the whole sentence out. Okay, what do you think? What do you think? What should we do?
Include him.
We should... Him?
Yeah.
No.
But he's different. Yeah?
If you include people, they'll feel happy saying so.
If you include people, they'll feel happy. Yeah?
Everyone in this world is different in a good way.
Yes. You're right. None of you guys look alike.
Most of the time.
Yes, sir?
Get his opinion.
Get his opinion. Are you sure? Him? Yeah.
A lot of people are different because of their hair and their stuff that they're wearing.
Mm-hmm. Different hair.
And different ages.
And different?
Like seven.
Different ages.
Ten. Seven and ten.
Seven and ten, and maybe a little after ten. From the mouth of babes. So, a lot after 10. I'm going to guess she's talking about you. Let's include you.
Welcome to the squad.
He, with maybe the exception of Otis, we need to chop off at the knees. He is quite a bit different in height.
Come on. Oh, darn it.
Again, Otis. He's also wearing eyeglasses. You are older. We're not going to go too far in that.
Oh gosh, yep, we're all wearing glasses.
Most of us know what it's like to be on the outside, whether it's at school, out at a playground, sometimes at work, someplace, even unfortunately in church. Well, I'm talking about them and all the way out there.
Child labor.
So we need to, as the scriptures tell us, as Christ came to bring inside and outside together, because it's not good for people to be on the outside. Yeah?
But if we're inside, how come he's not outside?
Well, we brought him in, so we brought him in together.
But he wasn't outside.
Oh, you think we should put him outside outside?
Yeah. No, don't do that.
Boy, she is ruthless.
We're not going to do that to you. Inside.
You don't get away that easily.
Let's. Inside, we were in the outside.
Well, I think we got our lesson, and before I lose any more track of this, let's join together for a quick word of prayer. Holy God, we give thanks that you came to bring us together, and we give thanks for our special helper who helps us to see the difference of bringing an outsider in and being by ourselves. Encourage us to do your work. Amen. Otis, you going to hand me the basket? Yeah, well, you're the special helper today.
He's the special one today.
You want to take one?
Do I take one?
No, yes.
Aw, yippee.
Okay, thank you. So about 20-odd years ago, a most horrific experience happened to me. It changed my life incredibly, and everything was different. I got married. And you know, my dad called me the next day and said, "How do you feel now?" And I was thinking to myself, trapped. But it's not bad. There is something that's very true in life, that when we go through changes that can feel like the death of our old way, God can bring new life into them. It's very true that when you get married, your previous life as a single person dies. You no longer get to treat life as it's your own. You now have a partner that you have to work with. If that's a question, come find me during office hours. There's also many other places. When you start to transfer from being in school to being a worker, that's a sort of death, where you actually have to be someplace on Monday morning at 9 a.m. When you have children, boy, that's a death of having the ability to sleep all night. So, it's important in all of these cases and so many more that we hear that while we are losing part of what was our identity, a death of our previous selves, what is coming now is actually truly new life. What is coming next is a new direction and a new possibility that can yield an incredible new direction. We hear this in this wonderful prophecy of Isaiah this week, where we hear of from the stump of Jesse, there will come a shoot. And that shoot will, of course, be the Lord Jesus. People thought Jesse, that forebearer of Christ, had somehow ceased to be, and all the goodness was wrung out of his family. Not much was accounted after King David and Solomon. And so they thought that that was kind of the end of the story. And that somehow, yeah, God promised a Messiah, but when would it come? And Isaiah says, no, even when it feels like a complete loss, even when it feels like a death, God can still do a new thing. And if you have ever dealt with trees, you know this is true. Who has not cut off a tree and come back a couple of weeks later and you see a little green thing coming up again? And you're like going, I thought I got rid of you. God's power is tenacious. And sometimes, this is really challenging to think about, sometimes we're called to cut it down, to make way for new life. Going with the tree analogy, you ever see a tree fall in a forest? And certainly that tree is lost. But then what happens when the light starts coming through the canopy? New growth springs up all where the sunlight is able to touch the forest floor again. As hard as this is for us to acknowledge, sometimes certain things have to pass away for new things to come along. There is not room in our finite human hearts for all of God's plans. Sometimes something has to change within us. Going to the image of being married, it is really impossible to live dually as a single person and a married person at the same time. It just doesn't work. And if you try to even get your head around it, it kind of gives you a headache. Somewhere I had to be willing to say, yes, you are the one, and I'm going to give up on all other possibilities for this to come to a new direction. And truth is, in marriage, for many of us, there is new life. Certainly children sometimes, but also just in working with each other and that new family unit we have together. Same thing with a new work. Same thing with a new direction in a church. Sometimes things have to pass so we can transition into a new growth and a new life. So now comes an interesting question. If what we are seeking is the life of God in the care of Jesus Christ, what trees are we willing to cut down for the purpose of allowing new life to come? And that's a very challenging question. For many of us, a tree is something that exists through a huge amount of time, decades, if not longer. It's something we get used to. It's something that is familiar. It's something that we know exactly where it is and how to get to it. And as such, sometimes it is incredibly hard to say it's time for that tree to go if it will give place for new life to grow up. This exists in a huge amount of ways, even beyond the process of cutting one down. Simply the act of pruning is cutting away certain directions to encourage the flourishing of the other parts of the bush. Sometimes in our life, to say no to certain things allows us to turn our energies and our attention and our volunteer and working hours to a new direction. For certainly we know we are only given a certain number of hours in any given week. At least I have not found a way to spend an hour twice. So sometimes if I'm going to make room for God's new thing, I have to cut off something old. Now, like I said, trees, as that wonderful image, are familiar. They're well known. They're established. They are comforting. And it is hard for us to willingly get rid of something we know so well. We would rather sometimes stick with what is familiar, what we know and what we are used to, rather than allow the possibility of God bringing new life. Simply because it's comfortable. Simply because it's habit. Another way you can think about this, if you will, is exercise. Who has not gone to their doctor at least once and heard them say that wonderful phrase, "I want you to exercise more"? I think they tell me that every time I go in. And last time I went in, I said, "But doctor, when am I going to find time to go to the gym? I'm a single parent, I have two children, I have a job, I'm busy." And he turns to me and says, "Do you want to live past 65? "Yes." "Find the time." "Okay, you have my attention now." Sometimes we need that brutal honesty knocking us a little bit. That if I want to be healthy, I need to find the time to make a change in my life. Even though what I have already is well established and comfortable. It will take effort to find time to go do my exercise. It takes time and effort to spend time with Scripture as I know I'm supposed to. It takes time and effort to spend time in prayer with the Lord. And if I'm going to do these three things to allow the newness of God's direction to come, something has to go. I can't just shove three more hours in an already full 24. Something has to go. So we come back to that very real, very challenging question. And this is a question I cannot answer for you, as much as I would love to. I'd love to be able to say, do this, and then new life will come up. As if I'd have a perfect panacea for all that ails you. But somewhere we all have to individually assess our lives and to say, "Lord, I want to be part of the new life that you're bringing. Help me to see what needs to pass away." May you have comfort and joy knowing as you wrestle with that question that even before you came to that question, your Lord Jesus came, ministered, gave forth the sacraments, and surrendered himself to the cross. so that you would be included no matter what. May you hear that joy that was done on your behalf as you wrestle with what we can do in response. Amen.